Okay, cool. So, hi everyone, I'm Thibaut. It's an honor to be here for the third year in FOSDEM. And this is going to be a technical talk on sharing interesting tips on codec development. So the basis of this work is my work that has been going on for 12 years already on Edge 264, which I will call Edge here. It's an AVC video decoder with a permissive license. And to me, it has been research on improving performance and size of the decoder by trying unusual tricks. And thanks to that, it has become about 15% faster and 4 times lighter than the state of the art, which is a good achievement, I think. During the past year, I worked towards release with new things in bold. And the major thing is Netflix joined to support this work, so huge thanks to them. It has been a huge boost in motivation, and now I'm steadily progressing towards release. Without further introduction, let's go over a quick overview of AVC. So AVC is a 20 years old codec. And the basic structure is about six code modules, and your data comes as encoded bitstream, goes out as frames. And we're going to focus on the two first blocks, that is headers and slices parsing, the parsing side of the codec. And I'm going to present two main things, the use of YAML as a format for logging output and the optimization of the QBAC arithmetic encoder. This is going to be technical. Okay, first YAML. YAML, go on please. YAML is a data serialization format that is, it's a standard way to convert a language object in your program into text and back. And in retrospect, that has been one of my best design choices in the past few years. And I will describe here the choice and what it enabled in my code base. Okay, now to the meat. In Edge, I log everything I parse. So every symbol that I get from the bitstream, I log it. And since AVC, or H.264, is a sequence of units, my log is going to be an array of objects, of YAML objects. And here is an example of the log output of a sequence parameter set. With YAML, I get these. I get readability thanks to having a slim syntax, thanks to syntax coloring in the editor, and thanks to the availability of comments, which, for example, JSON doesn't have. So I can add extra information like the fact that 7 corresponds to a sequence parameter set, or that a line was actually inferred, not present in the bitstream, but inferred by other sequences. I get also compactness by the use of a recursive format. If you compare that to CSV, that would make many more lines. So here I can actually put more symbols into a single line, and thanks to the availability of inline structures that YAML allows. And I also get scriptability by design, that is the ability to load your YAML directly into a programming language without having to parse it before. Okay with that? So once you have the ability to easily feed the log to a program, the next step is re-encoding. That is, converting our YAML back to the original video. This is a good way to check that our logging is complete, that the log represents the whole video and that you're not missing any output. And I'm going to share three key tips that I think will help could help you if you want to go the same route. The first is to use Python or a high-level language, and I'm serious with that. Python is excellent for prototyping algorithm, and I have been genuinely surprised that it hasn't been used more to design encoders, especially in initial encoders, when you care more about compression than performance. The second tip is to output context-free units. That is, units usually depend on the previous symbols that you get in other units. Here, you include everything into a single unit so that the re-encoding becomes easier. For example, here, instead of outputting just a frame number, I output the frame number and the number of bits that were used to encode the data. or to decode the data. So that when re-encoding, I just need to output 4 bits and not look at previous units to know how many bits I used to encode this. At this point, if I compare this script, GenAVC, with a library that does about the same, I converted from I went from 9,000 lines of code in C to 500 lines of code in Python. That's almost a 20 times reduction. So pretty good, and especially it's better for maintenance, because this script is just a side thing. I won't go back to that. And the last key tip is that Python has actually built-in support for bit buffers. Integers in Python are infinite, so basically you can use them as bit buffers by using a single set bit and pushing the set bit when you insert new values into the buffer. I'm putting these operations, these five key operations, as reference if you need to use them in your projects, and you may come back to the PDF later of the presentation if you want. Okay, next step. Once we have the ability to re-encode a YAML back to a video, we can create custom test bit streams to stress the decoder. My goal here is to catch up after FFmpeg and OpenH264 over decades of field testing and field availability. Edge is quite recent, and I don't have the same feedback from field. And my key tip here has been to search for shall clauses in the spec, about like 1,000 or so. For example, here, a sequence parameter set with that particular value of sequence parameter set ID shall be available to the decoding process prior to its activation. That means that whenever you get a sequence, whenever you reference a sequence parameter set, it has to exist before you reference it. So for testing, it means that I should create a bitstream that contains a unit referencing a unit that does not exist. Okay? That's a tricky thing. But basically, I read the spec, I read the shall clauses, and I imagine bitstreams that should fail. And then I convert that into a YAML and into a test bitstream. The good thing with these custom tests is that they can be included into public repositories, like my own repository, since I created them, so I own them. And also, since these bitstreams are much smaller than conformance bitstreams, they are much faster to run as tests. So the automated tests are much faster, and I don't need to include the conformance bit streams into the public repository. The last key point is data analysis. Thanks to YAML, I can write scripts in Python again to generate visualizations, and this is an ongoing work to design a multi-threaded scheduler. The code samples are available in the repository if you're interested. I'm not going to go over them. Okay, Midway. Now Quebec. First question, who among you is familiar or has heard about Quebec? I guess not many. Okay. Quebec is a layer of compression in H.264 or AVC that takes the input bitstream and a context and yields bits one by one. You ask it, I want one bit of a motion vector, or I want one bit of an IDCT coefficient, and it gives you this bit. It's a very low-level compression thing. This is a screenshot of Edge showing how bad it is on performance. It's about half of the performance goes just to Quebec. It's almost impossible to vectorize. It's a serial process. Love it. And it has been reused in HEVC and VVC, so everything that I'm presenting here will matter to these formats too. Okay, let's first describe a theoretical arithmetic decoder. A theoretical arithmetic decoder has one state, that is a floating point, the offset. It's a floating point with infinite precision that is loaded from the bitstream. And for each request of one bit, you would fetch a probability threshold that is given by the symbol you want to decode. You will compare the offset with this threshold and basically rescale the slice that was selected into 0-1. So basically scale the offset with the range so that it becomes 0-1 again. So here we're in 0, then 1, then 1. So the bits that are returned are going to be 0, 1, and 1. This is a real quick crash course on arithmetic decoding, but I encourage you to look at Wikipedia if you want to learn more. Quebec does the same, but with integers, 9-bit integers. The offset and the range are both on 9 bits. And the rescale happens only when the range has less than 9 bits. So the Quebec state is on two integers, the offset and the range. The working is the same. When you get the zero value, you get down, but you don't scale up. You only scale up when you need to have enough precision in the range. Here, at the last stage, when range becomes lower than 9 bits, so lower than 256, you scale it up. So you multiply range and offset by 2 and take a bit from the bit stream to the offset. That's how you actually reload into the offset. This is the original algorithm that is implemented in OpenH.264, and that explained quite the lack of performance when you compare it with FFmpeg. Now the optimization. If instead you wanted to load 10 bits from both offset and range, so you load 10 bits from offset and the range you shift it up by 1 bit, all the results would be the same. It would function the same. But in the end, at the third stage, you would have enough precision in the range, so you would not need to rescale. Okay. You would not need to rescale. So that spares one renormalization trip to memory. And the key tip is here. To do the same on size T integers, so basically machine-wide integers, I'm taking here 64-bit machines, you would initially load 64 bits into offset from memory, from the bitstream, and shift the range by 55 bits, the extra bits. Then you do your operations, and at each renormalization, when range and offset become lower than 9 bits, you would refill both with 56 bits, or 7 bytes. This has the advantage that it trades less frequent renormalizations with a new counting of extra bits. And it goes well with extra loads, wide loads, that I presented last year. The wide loads go well with on-the-fly and escaping that I presented last year, for those who followed. The second trick here that FFmpeg doesn't have, and I'm really proud of that, is to observe that range belongs to 256, 511. That means that range's ninth bit is set. So you can use this bit to count the extra bits. And with this, it spares the use of an extra variable or an extra set bit. Second one is awesome, but even harder to understand. Okay, bypass. In Quebec, bypass is a mode for symbols that Quebec cannot compress, basically for which 0 and 1 are equiprobable. In AVC, they are always used in loops of many bypass bits because they are used exclusively for IDCT coefficients, for long IDCT coefficients, and for long motion vectors. So they are both long and very rare. Here we're going to assume that the offset and the range have enough bits so that we can we don't need to renormalize in between. What we would do is we compare offset with half the range, then output a value. Then we compare offset with 1/4 the range, then we output a value. And then we compare offset with 1/8 of the range. And the bit sequence that you get is 0, 0, 1. If, just to try out, we map out all possible values of the offset could take, we notice that all bypass results would follow a progression from 0 to 7, left to right. That means to get the same result as many calls of bypass, you could actually just divide the offset by 1/8 of the range. And doing this division would yield all three bypass bits instead of having to go through three calls of get bypass. And the trick is here. In Quebec, to get n bypass bits, you first ensure that the offset and the range have both more than n extra bits. Then you would shift down the range by the number of bits you want. You divide the offset by the range. You get n bypass bits. And the remainder of the division is going to be the new offset. Then if you want to return M unconsumed bits, for example, if the bypass bits were used in a VLC code, you would multiply back the unconsumed bit by range, add them to the offset, and then shift range up by M bits. OK, this trick has no impact in Edge. It's just really cool, because it's rarely used in AVC. The performance is going to be a bit worse for tiny batches because div has a high cost, but this technique has a constant cost, so it's really good for very complex streams. However, this stream should be way more useful for HEVC and VVC that use bypass bits way more. I'm on time. Thank you for your attention. Now I'm going to be a bit faster when working on this thanks to Netflix, and my ETA for release is about 2 years, I think. Thank you for your attention.